And when the KSK has been rolled over, the trust anchor must be updated. If we don't do that, if we don't update or renew the trust anchor, and we don't have any valid trust anchor for the zone, it will mean that that domain and all its subdomains will be unavailable. They will be gone. And we know that because in January we actually missed the update, or actually we had the wrong key. We thought they had a key that would be valid this year too, but we had the key that ran out in January. So that was not good. So we have learned a hard lesson that you have to make sure to have processes for renewals. And if you have multiple servers to update, it's good to have a tool to be able to push the new key out to all the servers. And removal of a trusted zone is very simple. Just remove the trust anchor and restart, and it's gone. And now the DNSSEC resolver would just consider that domain as an ordinary domain with no DNSSEC validation. TLDs can actually help us to make this management easier. Having overlapping KSKs with a good overlap time, it's one step. That makes it easier for all the resolver operators to do the trust anchor renewal. .se, they have a 2-year lifetime of each of the two KSKs in the zone, and one of the two keys will be renewed 1 year, and the other one next year, and one is added. So there are always two keys. And that's a good policy. It's important that the TLDs publish its rollover policy and procedures, and of course follow them. Otherwise, we don't have a chance to do the renewal. And don't try to invent the wheel again. If it's possible, reuse the same procedures as other TLDs use. Because if there are fewer ways that things are being done, it's easier to remember and have it documented how this TLD is handling. And the last thing to do for a TLD is to be RFC 5011 compliant in its KSK rollover procedures. And RFC 5011 is automatic updates of DNS security trust anchors. And that is a standard, or proposed standard, to be picky, set by IETF. And that standard defines how to make the trust anchor renewal automatic. And that only works if the TLD is compliant in its KSK rollover. I say TLD, and that could of course be a lower level domain if you have that as trust anchor. For us as an ISP, we look at the TLD level. That is the level that we can add trust anchors. We wouldn't add trust anchors to low level domains. So if the TLD is compliant with RFC 5011, and of course the DNSSEC resolver also have that compliance, then you could actually leave your DNSSEC resolver running by itself with some monitoring, but you don't have to do the actual renewal. But it has not yet been implemented, even though I'm trying to persuade .se to do it. Emergency KSK real key rollovers is another tricky thing. There we don't know how to meet that. I don't think that we can expect. If they do it like an extended emergency rollover, like the time that RFC 5011 requires, then it could be done automatically. But if it's really a quick rollover, then it has been announced some other way. So this is an area where we require some additional planning and thoughts from all sides, both TLD side and the resolve operator side, to find a solution. And again, if different TLDs have similar procedures and cooperate, then the chance is higher that we don't miss emergency key rollover. And the signed root zone is something that we really look forward to. Rick Lamb will talk about that a little bit later. I just want to stress that it is very important for us as a DNS resolve operator to have root zone signed. When it's signed, we will have one trust anchor to take care of, not multiple. And by having that trust anchor, we will be able to validate the entire contiguous DNSSEC space. Okay, thank you. Now I want to invite the rest of the here presentation. I forgot maybe to mention them. I should put up the slides again. Intel. Okay. I need my glasses to see that. An F5. So here we have Michael Johansson from Tele2, which is another large ISP in Sweden, and Thomas Egrelius at Verizon, which is a large international ISP. Yep. And so please comments and questions. But first I let Michael and Thomas, if you have any comments.
Okay, yeah. Well, basically, can I say that our experience is about the same as yours, Matt. We haven't seen any support calls related to DNSSEC. We have been running DNSSEC resolvers since August last year. I can add to your presentation that I recently had a look at the DNSSEC related traffic on the resolvers, and the numbers of answers that have the AD bit set is quite low. In our environment, it's about 1 per 10,000 answers that have the AD bit set. So given that, we can't say much about performance issues, support calls either. And then again, on the resolvers we are using it, they are facing the customer base all over Europe, so the number of .se related questions are quite low, seeing the total amount of traffic. I think that's the immediate comments I have. What do you say, Michael?
Yeah, we also have been running DNSSEC enabled since May 2007, and basically the same as Mats has been pointing out here. I have a question to Thomas, though, about AD bit. Do you know what kind of questions they were?
No, I didn't look closely to the questions. I only looked at the answers and checked what the number was.
Okay.
Had a quick look at the random day last week.
Okay. Questions, comments from the audience? Okay, Jakob.
How would you compare your? You talked a bit about the keylover in RFC 5011. How would you compare that operational-wise between 5011 keylover and the preparedness you need to have for emergency keylovers anyway? So you, I mean, in the emergency case, you wouldn't use 5011 because the key you would use 5011 for is compromised, right? So you need to have the manual procedure anyway, you need to watch all those trust anchors manually anyway. So would you say something about the two alternatives here?
I think it's hard to say. Of course, we could have a manual monitoring daily, but I don't think that will work in practice. So when there is an emergency key rollover, I think that we depend on that being announced, so that it will be publicly announced that now it's there will be a key rollover. But you're right that we do have to have manual routines for changing keys. Today we only have manual routines, so. Today, this is not a problem. But even with RFC 5011 support, we will need that, of course.
Okay.
Yes?
Lars Lehmann from Autonomica. I have two questions. Which trust anchors do you have in your respective resolvers? Only the .se1 or others as well? Lower levels, other top-level domains, what have you. And my second question is, how do you obtain these trust anchors if you have more than the obvious .se? Do you go to a DLV? Do you have a common repository somewhere? Or what are the procedures?
Thomas, do you can start?
Yep, I can start. Currently, we only use the .se trust anchor. In the labs, we are currently looking at using the IEC DLV register, which seem to work fine, but there's also a policy decision there. As you introduce a third party, you need to trust. You need to make sure that the keys posted in the DLV tree is actually valid. And you also need to trust ISC to